Welcome to another evening with Zion's Trumpet, yours truly, Brother Daniel. How's everybody doing out there in Pal Talk land? Everybody doing good this week? Good, good, good. All right. Anybody have anything to share? Anything on your heart tonight before we start? Looks like we got Sister Irma. Go ahead, Sister Irma, you have the mic.
I'd like to go back to last week's program. First, when your mom spoke on having a divided heart, I prayed, Lord, please help me not to be guilty of having a divided heart. And suddenly then God spoke and answered that prayer for me. He gave me three things in answer to my prayer. He said, now this was for me, but I just felt like sharing it because I was blessed. He said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Obey, for obedience is better than sacrifice. And three, he admonished me to walk in the light as I have given you the light. And that was a challenge and a blessing, and I just felt like it was a little testimony for my life. And then I just wanted to give a comment concerning the video on Islamic conquest on your website. That was a fabulous history lesson to me. And it was also a prime example of meat in due season. I wish everyone could hear that. It's just so incredible how Islam has invaded our country. We are a demi nation. And Dan, you're a real watchman on the wall, showing us how the enemy is working to deceive believers with his evil spirits in our personal lives, and also how our country is being destroyed with the religious spirit of Islam. I just want to say, keep up the good work, and God bless you. Thank you, Dan.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sister Irma. Thank you very much. Looks like Mom wanted to say something here, so we're going to get her up in front of the mic right away. Here we go.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to say a word tonight about David Wilkerson's death this week. He was killed in an automobile accident, and it kind of struck a chord in my spirit. I don't know why, but it really did. And so the Lord gave me a scripture while I was meditating on this, and it's in Hebrews 9:16. It says, where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. And I felt the Lord gave me that verse when I was meditating on David Wilkerson's death. And I know this is concerning, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the death of Jesus and his bringing in the New Testament and giving us eternal life through his death. But I'm wondering if through his death, if the prophecies he had concerning the destruction of America are soon to come to pass. I believe this is very possible, that that's the reason God allowed him to leave this earth now, because of the many prophecies that he had concerning America. They were true prophecies, most of them, and I believe that it may be because they're very soon to come to pass. I believe there was some kind of significant, his death leaves some kind of significant. I feel that in my spirit. And when I was looking up this word, the testament, and see what Webster's dictionary had to say about testament, a testament means a will. And as I meditated on it, I thought, how wonderful that Jesus was a mediator of the New Testament, and through his death he left a will. He left a will for us that we might inherit eternal life and that we might inherit the kingdom of God. And he said that it was his Father's good pleasure to give to us the kingdom of God. And I thought, wow, How glorious! It's the Father's good pleasure to give to us his kingdom. And because of the death of Jesus, his will is that we have eternal, that he leaves an inheritance of eternal life and an inheritance of the kingdom of God. And it's his pleasure to give the kingdom of God to us. And I just really feel that David Wilkerson, anyone who knew David Wilkerson in the spirit, knew that he was a man of integrity, that he was a man that loved God, and that he was a man that loved Jesus. And he wasn't afraid to talk about Jesus. He wasn't afraid to name his name and to talk about him. And I know that he wrote the book called The Vision and Set the Trumpet to Thy Mouth. And he had a lot of prophecies in there about the destruction of America. And I believe that his death has something to do with the nearness of that destruction of this country. I really feel that in my spirit. And I was reading in Isaiah this week, and this kind of witnessed to me. Isaiah said in the 26th chapter, Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber, and shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. Shut all the doors about thee. Shut the doors to sin and to self, to the world and to spirits. Shut the door behind you, and hide thyself a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. I believe God is coming out of his place. I believe God is starting the destruction that's going to lead up to the great tribulation and to the outpouring of the wrath of God and to the coming in of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Shalom.
All righty. Thank you, Ma. That was good. Jan says that witnesses to her, too. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I know my voice sounds good, but it's not completely back yet. It's getting better. It's almost back, but it's not fully back, so I'm not going to sing tonight yet. Maybe next week I'll be able to get back to singing here. I don't know why God has me on this thing about America's foundations. I guess it's because he's about to destroy it. And he wants people to know that this country was his in the beginning. He did raise it up. I still got this on my heart, and it still irritates me when I hear people say things like, you know, the founding fathers were Antichrist, and this was not a Christian nation. And there's no such thing as religious freedom in the Bible. It's a Mormon doctrine or a Jesuit conspiracy or whatever. You know, and I mentioned that particular thing the other week when I was doing my expose on Pinto's film, The Secret Faith of Founding Fathers, but I didn't actually say too much about it. So I'm going to do that tonight. Tonight I'm going to look at the issue of religious freedom, because I'm getting tired of so-called Christian conspiracy hunters claiming that the idea of religious freedom is evil, and it came from the Mormons, or the Masons, or the Illuminati, or the Jesuits, or whoever, the Zionist conspirators, whoever. All they're doing when they say that kind of stuff is demonstrating how gullible and ignorant they are of our history. As I said, this guy named Christian Pinto, which I've been exposing the last few weeks, he's one of those people. He says that Americans don't realize the whole idea of religious freedom is not only unscriptural, it's an integral part of the conspiracy to set up a one world government. And in his anti-American propaganda piece, he says the idea of religious freedom came from Jesuit priests in the 1600s, and the purpose of it was the way for Roman Catholics to reconquer Protestant England and eventually establish a global religion. Okay, and I quoted the other week from an article where he was being interviewed about that movie when it was still new, and he plainly states, he says the United States was planned from the beginning to help launch the New World Order. And when the interviewer asked him how that's possible, what the founders did to do that, that's the answer is very important, because he says the founders set forth the doctrine of religious freedom, which has been designed by the Vatican and the Jesuit order in England back in 1688. There, that is, the Jesuits' real purpose was to empower the Church of Rome to be in a position to overthrow England. The English Protestants rejected the whole idea, but Rome manipulated the revolutionaries, that's Washington and all those, to write it into the U.S. Constitution. And he says most Christians in our country don't realize that the concept of religious freedom is not biblical. It's not an inalienable right given by God. Nowhere in the Bible does God say that men have the right to worship whatever God they please. Religious freedom helped unite America against England, and it's today being used by the Vatican to join all world religions together in a united one world order. Now, these kinds of statements show me that Pinto has absolutely no idea how the founders of this nation understood the term religious freedom or religious liberty or freedom of religion. He has no idea. He's passed himself off as some kind of pseudo-historian. This guy's nothing but a joke. But before I go any further, I want to show you some of the people this guy's associated with. A few years ago, Pinto wrote the foreword to a book called Apollyon Rising 2012. And the author of that book was a man named Thomas Horn. He's a very strange conspiracy theorist who owns an alternative news site that's pretty famous. It's called Raiders News Network. You might have heard of it. And in his book, Apollyon Rising 2012, Mr. Horn says that the key to understanding the greatest conspiracy of all time is sitting right under our noses, right out in the open in Washington, D.C. And that key is an ancient, magical, talismanic diagram and a prophecy which supposedly waits its final use and fulfillment by some hidden occult hand that has been guiding America's secret destiny from the days of revolution. And according to this book, Mr. Horn says, many of the founders of America, since they were evil Masons, they knew about this key prophecy, and they deliberately designed the U.S. Capitol, its roads and its buildings, to serve as a home of the pagan gods who were scheduled to return in 2012. He also says the Great Seal of the United States secretly points to that same prophecy and return of those gods. Now, of course, Mr. Horn does not believe these gods are the gods of ancient Rome or ancient Greece. He thinks they're the Nephilim, or the giants that are mentioned in Genesis chapter 6. Fortunately, you don't have to waste your money to see what kind of occult trash Mr. Horn is propagating. He writes articles for various different websites, and he's espousing the same basic views as he writes in his book. He really says the same thing over and over again in different ways. For example, he wrote a series of articles called Read It Before It's Banned by the Government. That's the title, Read It Before It's Banned by the Government, for a very popular website called News with Views. And he began the article by quoting David Bay. Now, David Bay is the guy who runs Cutting Edge Ministries, I mentioned the other week. David Bay was involved with Pinto for years before Pinto broke off and established his own company, movie company. So he begins by quoting David Bay, which is another Pinto associate, and then he recommends those who are unfamiliar with this secret American Masonic history of the United States that they should watch the three-film series produced by Mr. Pinto, which is also co-produced by David Bay, which gives all the background information you need to know about the America's Masonic beginnings, okay? Here's what he says in this article. It's like a 10-part series. He says, I quote, this is David Bay's quote. It says, America was designated as the new Atlantis that would lead the world to the Antichrist. The original national bird envisioned by our Masonic leadership in the late 1700s was not the American eagle, but the phoenix bird. This historic fact strongly suggests that at the right moment in world history, with the world entering through the portals of the kingdom of Antichrist, America might suddenly be immolated in fiery flames, burning to the ashes. Out of these ashes, the new world order will arise. Then Mr. Horn goes on to say, quote, for those who are unfamiliar with this secret American Masonic history, or who do not have time to dedicate to the study, I cannot recommend highly enough an award-winning film series on the subject from Adullam Films, that's Pinto's film company, now available on DVD. The three films in The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings are a perfect primer for understanding the fascinating history behind the founding of America as the fulfillment of Bacon's Rosicrucian New Atlantis and what this portends for humanity today. The three DVD series includes Volume 1, Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, The New Atlantis, Volume 2, Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Washington, D.C., and Volume 3, Eye of the Phoenix, Secrets of the Dollar Bill. He says, filmmaker Christian J. Pinto also kindly provided the Washington, D.C. street map, which is included in this article. So he took one of Pinto's supposed maps, trying to prove that the streets of Washington, D.C. were all designed by satanic Masons and former Pentagram. And he's using that in his article. And as you read that series by Thomas Horn, you'll discover that Mr. Horn thinks He has researched all these ancient manuscripts. He's looked at all these ancient pagan traditions and texts and is comparing them to the Bible. And what he's discovered is that those mysterious humans, or whatever they were, called Nephilim, or giants, in the Bible, back in Genesis 6, he has found out what they were and where they come from. According to him, something called advanced transgenic science, that's science, they're using science to change your DNA and produce all these human clones, or human in computer, or human in animal, whatever. That was used to breach the species barrier between animal and human back in Genesis 6, and that's what the giants were. They were a crossbreed of human and animal. This guy's book and other books, the one's called Nephilim Stargates, The Year of 2012 and the Return of the Watchers, that was presented in a lot of places, a lot of websites. One was WorldNet Daily. There was a review of that book on WorldNet Daily. That review explains pretty much what this guy's theory and doctrine is. The review of that book says that the new experiments in genetic engineering could open up the doors for the return of the fearsome giants described in the Bible. These giants came into existence after powerful angels known as the Watchers descended to Earth and used women or their biological matter to construct bodies of flesh, which they used to extend themselves into the material world. These are supposed to be Christian people, okay? And these are the kind of people Pinto is associated with. He wrote the foreword to this guy's book. This guy goes on to say that the apocryphal books of Enoch, 2 Esdrades, the Genesis Apocryphon, and the book of Jasher supports this theory that watchers or angels, they went from cohabiting with human women to genetic modification of animals and humans. And he quotes the book of Jasher. All right, the book supposedly says that, quote, after the fallen angels went into the daughters of men, the sons of men taught the mixture of animals of one species with another in order to provoke the Lord. And then Mr. Horn asked the question. He says, what if by corrupting the species barrier in which each creature was to recreate after its own kind, the watchers, that is the fallen angels, had successfully mingled human and animal DNA, creating something new, a construct that God had not made, resulting in a body they could incarnate within. And he says, imagine the staggering implications of such science if dead Nephilim tissue was discovered with intact DNA and the government or a rogue agency somewhere was willing to clone or mingle that extracted organism to make more Nephilim. He said the technology to resurrect extinct species may already exist. The cloning methods are being used now for trying to bring back things like the Tasmanian tigers, the woolly mammoth, and other extinct creatures, okay? This is this guy's doctrine, Tom Horn. He thinks genetic science is going to find some kind of DNA of the original giants and bring it back into existence. And this guy's website, like I said, was the Raiders News Network, and it's very, very famous. And if you go to that page, Raiders News Network, you'll see an advertisement for something called the Future Congress. It's a convention they're holding. And the three main speakers at that convention is going to be a conspiracy theorist named Gary Stearman, Chuck Missler, who most people are familiar with, and this guy, Tom Horn. Now, Mr. Stearman's going to be talking about how Satan is going to orchestrate an alien invasion of aliens to the Earth. Mr. Horn's going to speak about the coming replacement humans. And those are the giants of Genesis 6. They're going to be recreated through advanced transgenic science that the demons are now giving to today's scientists. And, of course, Mr. Pinto is going to be at that conference also. And I have no doubt, doesn't say what he's going to be speaking on, but I'm sure he'll be spreading his lies about how America was founded by a bunch of wicked Freemason pro-Catholic antichrists. I'm sure he'll be telling gullible, conspiracy-minded Christians that America was planned from the beginning by these wicked antichrist founders of the New Atlantis to help the last days beast government be launched. And I'm sure he'll be telling them that our wicked forefathers deliberately used the Jesuit concept of religious freedom to launch this New World Order. Now, you know, one of the ways you can judge a person's character, aside from their works, aside from the kind of fruit they're bearing, is by looking at who they endorse and who their associates are, who are the people they hang out with, who are the people they're endorsing. And Mr. Pinto is endorsing this kind of total occultic trash. He has no problem associating with and, you know, promoting an unhinged conspiracy nutcase like Tom Horn. He has no problem endorsing people and hanging out with a guy who thinks scientists are going to recreate the giants of Genesis 6. So it tells you a little about the mind of these conspiracy people and about the mind of Pinto. Now, is the idea of religious freedom really a Jesuit concept to create a Roman Catholic one world government? Was the concept of religious freedom really designed to open the door to Catholic and Masonic control of America? I mean, did the Founding Fathers deliberately use this wicked idea of religious freedom to deceive genuine Christians of their day? Well, the fact that Mr. Pinto and many other morons like him will say yes to those questions, it shows you have no idea whatsoever what the founders of this nation believed. I can't believe they're even trying to pass themselves off as some kind of genuine historian. I'm going to talk about religious liberty here, okay? But let me start in 1944. In December of 1944, American soldiers were fighting against the last German offensive of World War II. And they were dying in large numbers. They were getting pummeled and they were getting slaughtered. They'd been bogged down by mud and rain. And the planes who would normally, you know, cover for them, they couldn't be flying because of all the low clouds. It was a bad situation. That battle was called the Battle of the Bulge. And the general was George Patton. He was a commander. And at a certain point, Mr. Patton called on the army chaplain and he asked him to publish a, quote, prayer for good weather. He said he was tired of seeing his soldiers having to fight mud and floods as well as Germans. And he told his chaplain to see if they couldn't get God to work on their side through his prayer. Well, the chaplain's name was James O'Neill, and he wasn't too fond of the idea. He told Patton that, it wasn't customary for men of his profession to pray for clear weather so people could go out and murder their fellow men. And Mr. Patton said he wasn't interested in the chaplain's theology. He told the guy, you're a chaplain of the Third Army, and the Third Army's being slaughtered. Well, finally, the chaplain obeyed. And the prayer he made was printed on a card. It was distributed to every soldier in the Third Army, and the prayer was this. It said, Almighty and most merciful God, we humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness to restrain these immoderate rains with which we have had to contend. Grant us fair weather for battle. Graciously hearken to us as soldiers who call upon thee, that armed with thy power we may advance from victory in victory and crush the oppression and wickedness of our enemies and establish thy justice among men and nations. Amen. And in the editor's footnote in Patton's memoirs, he tells what happens next. He says, the day after that prayer was issued, the weather cleared and remained perfect for about 6 days, enough to allow the Allies to break the backbone of the German offensive. Now, Patton's request for a weather prayer might sound impious at first, but he was dead serious. He was convinced that God was on the side of America because America stood for justice and liberty, while Germany stood for tyranny, slavery, and mass murder. In Patton's mind, the cause of America was the cause of liberty, and that was the cause of God. So in his mind, it was perfectly reasonable and constitutional to order the army chaplain, a paid official of the U.S. government, to ask for God's intervention in the war. But many of today's Americans would agree with the chaplain that religion has no business supporting a political cause, especially not a war. You know, we all have the idea that God doesn't take sides in quarrels among nations. Or does he? See, Mr. Pinto's view of this nation is the opposite of the America's founders. During the Revolutionary War, Congress prayed for God to, quote, to smile upon us in the prosecution of a just and necessary war for the defense and establishment of our inalienable rights and liberties. And the liberty they referred to wasn't just civil liberty, it included religious liberty. As we're going to see, their understanding of liberty was consistent with, and in fact called for, prayer to God as public servants. See, they believed there are many occasions when the government should teach and or practice religion. There's so many evidences of this in history, but just one is enough to seal the case. The fact that they said the Bible should be taught in public schools and the Bible should be the only thing taught in public schools shows their mindset about religion and politics. See, General Patton believed God was pro-liberty, like the founders did. And since he was familiar with the history of this nation, he saw no constitutional crisis in asking a government worker, that is the chaplain, to make a prayer to God. And one of the problems with today's Americans, Christians included, is that they have no idea just how much the founders and the early leaders of this nation integrated religion into the government. Today's view is just the opposite as the founders. And of course, maybe this is due in large part to the fact that in 1947, the Supreme Court ruled for the first time in history that it was unconstitutional for government to, quote, support any religious activities or institutions, whatever they may be called, or whatever form they may adopt to teach or practice religion. And that decree has guided government policy and all the court cases ever since then, though military chaplains are still permitted. But because of all the disinformation and left-wing propaganda we've been subject to since 1947, the Founding Fathers' understanding of religious liberty has become totally alien to us. Socialists, secularists, communists, humanists, all these God-hating groups have redefined the term liberty. They've redefined it to mean something it never meant in the minds of the founders. And that is, their definition now is, the right to choose or the right to do whatever one pleases. That's what they define as liberty. And unfortunately, both conservatives and liberals agree with that definition. So the only real disagreement between liberals and conservatives right now is the extent to which government should impose limits on various abuses of that liberty. See, there's a big difference between the idea of the unlimited right of an irresponsible will, you understand? The unlimited right of an irresponsible will to do whatever it wants, and the concept of the fathers, which was a liberty which is inherently responsible, a liberty which has already, within its definition, constraints and restraints based on morality, based on religion, Christianity, and the Bible. Well, the Founding Fathers, an irresponsible and irrational will is not free. It's enslaved.